Hey guys, what's going on? It's Michael here from Prospects Worldwide coming to you with some post-round one thoughts and analysis from the 2024 MLB draft. It is currently Monday as of this recording. So round one was yesterday on Sunday. By now we're through the first 10 rounds of the draft and we're going to have so much, you know, post-draft coverage coming at you once every round is complete. But wanted to give some thoughts first on the first round. And this was a very interesting class this year. Obviously, a very college-dominant class, which is not something you always see, especially in Major League Baseball. A much weaker high school class than we're used to. And not only just a lot of college guys, but a lot of four-year college guys. So a lot of guys that we could potentially see on Major League rosters sooner rather than later for a lot of these teams, especially the guys that we saw go off the board early in the top 10, top 15 picks. And it was also, you know, one of those classes where, you know, you have all these college guys and, you know, you could read four different mocks before day one, before yesterday, and the top 10, you know, the order could be completely different in all, in every single one of them. It was really sort of a wide open class. There was a lot of questions about who was going to go first. Was it going to be Bazana? Was it going to be Charlie Condon? Was it going to be J.J. Weatherholt from West Virginia? So a lot of questions going in. No one really had a definitive answer to how the top 10 was going to lay out. But we got our answers, and it ended up, of course, it was Bazana at 1-1 to the Guardians. And I really like this pick. I had him going 1-1 myself in my mock draft as well. And this guy, you know, he's just a do-it-all guy. All, you know, he's got the full offensive profile. He can hit lefties, he can hit righties, great swing mechanics, got a lot of pop in the bat. You know, the biggest question with him is the defense. He's obviously got great base running stills, you know, potential there to steal 20, 30 bags a year. And I think he's just a perfect fit, I think, for this Guardians system. You know, obviously what they have at the pro level already. You know, and really starting to build something. I mean, I think, as you know, at this point in the year, they're kind of exceeding expectations almost. So I think he's going to fit right in. I think he'll, you know, progress well and quickly, you know, through that Guardian system. So I don't think it will be long before we see him up at the major league level. You know, as I said, the only question with him is, you know, will he stick at second? You know, will he end up playing somewhere else? I think he's a good enough athlete overall that he will stick at second base. But that will be something that's kind of interesting to play out. You know, see what they do with Jimenez, you know, at the big league level, see if they want to move him over and kind of make a shift in that regard. But overall, I really like this pick. I think it was a great call by Cleveland to get Bazana 1-1. So that took us to 1-2. And this is where we kind of got our first surprise. So I had Charlie Condon going here to Cincinnati, and they went with Chase Burns. And, you know, just a bit of a surprise. I don't think a lot of people had Burns. You know, definitely had him in the top 10. But I don't think not a lot of people I saw had him going top two, especially to Cincinnati. I thought Cincinnati was going to go with a bat here, but you can't hate the profile on Burns whatsoever. I mean, the fastball is everything it's cracked up to be. I can play well up in the zone, tons of velo on it. You know, the off-speed stuff is just getting better. You know, command is what it is. But this is another guy who, you know, he brings that energy. He brings that passion to the game, brings it to the mound every single start. We saw that every time he towed the rubber for Wake Forest. And I think it's – and, you know, when you think about it in the context of Cincinnati's system, they already have a lot of young arms up there at the big club as it is when they had guys like Abbott and Nick Lodolo. So to add a power righty arm in there, I think is a really good fit. Still a little surprising to not see them go with a bat because it's been a while since we've seen Cincinnati kind of have that big, strong power presence like a Charlie Condon or even a Jack Caglione in their lineup. But surprising pick, but not a bad pick by any stretch. I think Burns is going to be just fine. As I said, he's got that the energy, the passion he brings to the mound, and just the overall stuff. It's big league stuff. I think it's going to play really well. And another guy that I think we'll see, you know, maybe not in the majors, not necessarily sort of like a Paul Skeens turnaround by any means, but a guy that's going to make his way through that system pretty quick and up to Cincinnati, you know, sooner rather than later. And, you know, it's sort of an interesting setup because Cincinnati is far from a pitcher's park. So he's going to be, you know, tough confines to pitch in. But again, a guy like him, just that energy, that work ethic, that off speed keeps progressing, that slider, that curveball keeps progressing the way it has been and the way we saw it this year. I think it's a really good pick. But again, just a little bit of a surprise, I think, to not see Cincinnati go with a bat in that spot. But nothing wrong at all with Chase Burns. And then that left us at 1-3. And, you know, I think if I think everyone in the Rockies war room was just over the moon when they heard Cincy go with Burns, because that allowed them to get Charlie Condon. I think a lot of people had Condon going 1 or 2. So he falls to 3, and I think it's a match made in heaven for Colorado. And yes, it's another situation where could Colorado have used a pitcher? Of course, you know, I think Colorado can never have enough pitching. I mean, there's really not a lot up there right now in Colorado, and that's one of the big reasons they struggle. But it's always tough given where they play. And just kind of given, you know, those factors, you know, for pitchers to really find success there. So, but this is a match made in heaven. I mean, Condon in that ballpark with his just pure power that we saw all year at Georgia, he's going to do really well there. And he's going to put a lot of balls, you know, into the stratosphere in Colorado. So I love this pick. I think it's a perfect fit. I think it's a perfect profile to put in Colorado. You know, could they have gone Hagen Smith here and gotten that arm? Sure. But, you know, Condon's a guy, especially in this sort of situation where you're expecting him to go before you, you know, go 1 or go 2, can't pass that up, can't pass up that fit. So love this pick. I gave it, give it an A-plus grade for Colorado. I think he's going to do a lot of damage at Coors Field for a lot of years to come. That takes us to pick number 4. And this to me was the biggest surprise of the top 10. I really thought Oakland was going to go with Jack Caglione here. And, you know, outside of the profile that Caglione has with the pop and the bat, the athleticism, and obviously the stuff he brings on the mound and the vito he can bring with the fastball, I think he would have been such a perfect fit in this scenario, because when you look at Oakland as an organization, things could not be any worse. And I think what they need is a guy that, you know, everyone can just get excited about, that every fan can get behind and, you know, kind of get that mindset of, you know, things are really bad right now, but we got this guy coming up that's going to kind of be the catalyst to change things. And they went with Nick Kurtz, and this is nothing against Nick Kurtz. Nick Kurtz is an unbelievable prospect, you know, on base machine, pop in the bat. Some questions defensively. I don't think he's going to move off first base ever, potentially maybe to a corner outfield spot, but I think he's primarily going to be a first baseman, so a little limited defensively. But the bat itself, I mean, he's going to get on base at an incredibly high level. He's got great plate discipline. So it's in no way a bad pick, and it still is somebody for, if you're an Oakland fan, to be very excited about, a guy that can be an anchor for your lineup, you know, in the future. But it was just surprising, especially with a guy like, you know, a two-way guy like Caglione sitting there at 4. I was very surprised to see them go with Kurtz in that situation. But again, great pick, great ball player, and a guy who I think, given his already advanced plate discipline, will do really well right away in minor league ball and could find his way to Oakland or Vegas, excuse me, because they'll be in Vegas by the time he's up. And, you know, I think he can still be a catalyst for that organization. And that's what they need right now, because it's not great times in Oakland, for lack of a better term. It was very surprising. When I was making my mock and I was going through, like, I just had Caglione pegged there at 4, and I was really, you know, I thought that was a perfect match, the same like Condon is in Colorado. So I think definitely Nick Kurtz is a guy, you know, a baby step in the right direction for Oakland, but still a lot of work to be done there before they get back to, you know, to where they once were. Next three picks, you know, we had Hagen Smith to the White Sox. Caglione went to the Royals at 6, and then J.J. Weatherholtz 7 to the Cardinals. And those are all fantastic picks. You know, I gave them A's all the way for all three of those teams. The White Sox, again, another team that's got a lot of steps, you know, in their rebuilding process. And I think an arm was definitely on the priority list, especially considering that their best young arm at the moment is Garrett Crochet, and he's most likely going to be traded in a few weeks at the deadline. So, you know, you combine whatever it is that they're going to get for him, which you have to imagine is going to be a very good haul prospect-wise, and then you go out and you get what, you know, the best arm left after, of course, Chase Burns, and arguably I would even say the best arm overall in the draft. I had Smith a little bit ahead of Chase Burns in my rankings. But, you know, so a perfect fit there. And then, of course, Caglione to Kansas City. You know, obviously the big question is he going to stick as a two-way? But either way, you know, the big question offensively with him is the chase rate. Is that going to get better? It has been getting better. So I think he's going to continue to improve in that department. So much pop in that bat. So a really good fit for Kansas City. And Weatherholt as well. I mean, this is a guy that a lot of people thought might go first overall, and the Cardinals get him at 7. So really, just great fits for those three teams. And then the Angels at 8, they go Christian Moore, Tennessee. And I really like this pick for LA because, you know, last year they went with Nolan Schanuel, and it was kind of a surprising pick. But then you looked at it and you said, okay, four-year college guy, solid bat, and he's already playing. He's their everyday first baseman. And I think that's going to be the plan with Christian Moore as well. And I really like that for the Angels. I think getting these, you know, four-year college guys that are going to be MLB ready sooner rather than later is the way to go. Just get that young talent up there. You know, the Angels are another team that have, you know, grossly underperformed, especially considering they have one of the best players ever on their roster. So, you know, getting Christian Moore and just kind of adding to that pool of young talent that we'll see in the majors pretty quickly, I think was the right move. The next biggest surprise came for me at 9, and that was the Pirates. And they went with Connor Griffin, who was in my rankings. He was the highest rated high school player I had in my rankings. But I was very surprised that the Pirates went with a high school guy. Because when you look at how they're set up right now, you know, obviously Paul Skenes is the talk of the town. He started in the All-Star game after being drafted last year. And, you know, in that pitching staff as well, you have Jared Jones and Mitch Keller, also two very solid young starters. It's a team that's trending in the right direction, and they don't have any offense. You know, their offensive production has been poor, and it doesn't look like they're going to make any splashes at the deadline. You know, to get major league talent. So I would have really liked the Pirates to go with a college bat, you know, a 4-year college guy who could, you know, make, you know, be up sooner rather than later and make an impact. But they went with Griffin, and, you know, Griffin has the profile. He's got, you know, they're still a little lacking in the power department, you know, and the overall hit tool, but, you know, he's just going to need some time to develop, and that's what, you know, and that's what you commit to doing with these high school guys. But I was really surprised. I really was hoping they would go with a college guy to kind of keep that train going of young talent, and they need it in the offensive category. So it was very surprising, especially given the names on the board. You know, you still had James Tibbs, Braden Montgomery, a lot of guys there that could have fit that profile, but they went with Griffin. So, you know, we'll see how it pans out down the road. National Seaver King, Tigers, Bryce Rainer. Seaver King was a little bit of a surprise for me. I think when you have, you know, as I said at the beginning, it's a very unique draft class that you have a lot of these 3-year, 4-year college guys who can be ready sooner rather than later. And I think the Nationals are another team trending in that direction with guys like James Wood and CJ Abrams, you know, young, you know, guys who, you know, obviously Abrams came over in a trade, but, you know, young guys, you know, just a young core developing there. And Siver King, not a bad pick, but I thought there were some better options personally. Got maybe a guy like Tibbs, maybe, you know, Montgomery, even a Cam Smith, who went later on in the first round. Just some guys there that could have fit the bill, or even maybe get an arm, maybe go for Trey Savage, somebody like that. A guy that, you know, can get up there quick. I think when you have such a wide pool of four-year college guys, you take advantage of that. And not that, you know, and again, and Siver King, good profile, you know, kind of one of those guys that kind of does everything well, but still needs to improve, you know, and, you know, so, you know, your textbook prospect. But again, I think that was another spot where a four-year guy like Montgomery or Tibbs or somebody like that would have been a little bit of a better pick. You know, the Tigers with Rainier, I like that one for them. You know, they certainly didn't need a pitcher, you know, given their depth of young pitching talent. So they went with the high school guy, and they're kind of in rebuild mode. I mean, they have so much money committed to the to guys like Javi Baez and Miguel Cabrera, who's not even on the team anymore. So they're still in that rebuild phase. So to get a young guy like that, let him develop, I think was the right move. Red Sox with Brayden Montgomery, you know, as you all know, big, I'm a, you know, Red Sox are my team. Love this pick. I had them pegged to take a pitcher, you know, because obviously we, you know, given their prospect pool with Meyer, Teal, and Anthony, you know, you're pretty much set in the offensive category. But this is a guy, Brayden Montgomery, who I don't think anyone expected to fall out of the top 10, maybe not even out of the top 5. And they get him at 12, which very similar to the Kyle Teal situation. I don't think a lot of people thought Teal was going to be there last year. And they were able to get him. So, you know, a guy you just couldn't pass up. And, you know, it's probably going to be a little bit, you know, you're not going to see him right away, probably not till next year, even with that ankle injury. But, you know, the defensively plays a great outfield. You know, we're really getting a collection of riches in the outfield in terms of young talent. Because if you look at the major league level, you still have Jarren Duran and Willy Abreu, who are very young, very talented players as well. So with that arm, you know, plays great defense. The bat is there. So hopefully, you know, he can keep, you know, recover well from this ankle injury and really start to make an impact. But he can take his time because, you know, we can be patient with him because we have young guys already playing every day. He got Roman Anthony coming behind him. So I really like this pick for the Red Sox. And then moving through the rest of the first round, you know, we saw a lot of high school guys go towards the 15 to 20 range. Gerangelo Shinte, I butchered that last name, but love that pick for Seattle. She's such a dynamic player. It will be interesting to see if he sticks with, you know, sticks with the switch pitching. The numbers kind of say that he's a little better. You know, obviously being a natural lefty, he's a little better from that side, but such a dynamic player. I think he fits well into that Mariners system and will be a nice piece to add to those young arms that they already have, you know, at the major league level. I really like the Carson Bench pick for the Mets. Was very high on him. Trey Savage is a great pick for Toronto. Toronto's in kind of a weird spot because I think they're, you know, I think their fans would tell you that they're very much underperforming this year. And it looks like they're going to be sellers at the deadline. So they might be entering some, you know, a more of a rebuild stage. But getting a Savage, getting a young arm to kind of anchor, you know, their young prospect talent, I think is a good move. Savage is a great arm. I think I had him in my top 10 in my prospect rankings. Really, you know, after Smith and Chase Burns, I think he was third in terms of pitchers. So really like that pick. And then looking at the end of the round, I won't go over too much of the high school guys because I don't have as much info on them than I do the college guys. But Vance Honeycutt was my favorite pick of the 20s. You know, the way the Orioles have been with their scouting department and the guys they've taken. I mean, I said it to a friend of mine last night watching the draft. I said they could take an eighth grader and he would probably turn into an all-star. I mean, they've just been hitting home run after home run with their young guys. And Honeycutt really fit. He's just an all-around good ball player, great athlete, smooth swing, great mechanics at the dish. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how he fits in, because I think the Orioles are trending towards the situation that the Kansas City Royals had back in their heyday, where they kind of ran into a situation after they won the World Series where they had all these guys that they needed to pay, but they couldn't pay anybody or couldn't pay everybody. So they had to make some decisions. The Orioles are going to be trending in that direction with Gunnar Henderson and now Kerstad and Colton Cowser, and Mullins and Rutschman and all those guys. Somebody I think is going to have to get left out of that equation. So to have a guy like Honeycutt kind of be there to step in and fill the role, you know, as another just future piece, I think is a really good pick for Baltimore. I did like the Caminiti pick for Atlanta. Atlanta's done a great job with pitchers over the years. And I think Caminiti is probably the best high school arm in the draft. I think he was, I don't have my rankings in front of me, but I think he was the highest ranked high school arm that I had. So I really like that pick for Atlanta. And then the other two picks to kind of round out the first round that I really enjoyed. I did like the Yankees going with Ben Hess. You look at that Yankees bullpen and, you know, whether or not Hess is going to be a starter or reliever, that kind of remains to be seen. But you look at that Yankees bullpen now, and there's a lot of older veteran guys, and this is a team that needs to get younger at every position. So I think Hess is a really good pick there. A top in the upper echelon of college arms in this class, and they were able to get him at 26. And then the Astros going with Walker Janik. I really was really high on him. He was my number one catcher in the class. And it's interesting because you look at Houston and they have Yainer Diaz, who has played really well this year and looks to be sort of that catcher going forward. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Walker Janik, but a great profile overall. I think he's a great fit in that Houston system. And I really also like the Malcolm Moore pick for Texas. Another team that kind of has, you know, already has a catcher in Jonah Heim, but I think just the profile and I think he fits really well into that Rangers system. So just some quick first round thoughts. And another, I forgot to mention as well, Cam Smith to the Cubs. I think that was a steal for them. I think another guy that I don't think the Cubs necessarily expected to be there at 14. And they were able to get him, and another guy that's going to add to a young developing core that we see in Chicago. So that, you know, that's your first round. And it kind of went exactly how everyone was saying it was going to go. You know, just such a, you know, this is not a class that was necessarily highlighted by any one player. Like it wasn't, you know, like an Adley Rutschman class where it was him and then everybody else. And, you know, and it's also the sort of class where I don't think anybody really stands out as like, you know, a future face of the franchise, with the exception of maybe a few guys at, you know, at the very top, but all guys that are going to fit in well at the top of rotations or in the heart of lineups and just kind of be anchors going forward for their respective teams. And it was really a crapshoot how the first round was going to go, like what order these guys are going to go in. You know, talked earlier about who was going to go one. And there were some surprises, and there always will be, you know, especially when it comes to MLB. And, you know, every team has their own scouting philosophy, and it's really cool to kind of see it play out the way it did, especially with a class like this, to kind of see the direction certain teams are going in and what they value and things of that nature. So just some quick thoughts from round one. Obviously, we're far from being done at the MLB draft, but Prospects Worldwide is going to have so much post-draft coverage. We'll have more grades out and stuff for certain picks, you know, which teams did best, which teams did not so good once all the rounds have been completed. But that was the first round. just some first round thoughts. Hope everybody enjoyed. Enjoy the rest of the draft. Enjoy All-Star Week. I'm actually sitting here right now with the Home Run Derby on in front of me. So enjoy the festivities, and we'll be back with more content post-draft. So this has been Michael, Prospects Worldwide, with some round one draft thoughts and analysis.